Well, we're not sure if our starting quarterback's in the building right now or not. If he is, that's great. If he's not, that's great too. And whoever's in that room is going to be coached hard, be held accountable, and you know, being expected to do the things that we expect out of Cleveland Browns quarterbacks.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea. We are going to head on to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in one of our very favorites, draft expert from CBSSports.com, Dane Brugler. You can follow him on Twitter, and I would recommend you do, at DP Brugler. Dane, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How you gentlemen doing?
Good, man. Doing very well. Coming back, we heard the Browns' new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, saying that the quarterback may or may not be in the building. We know the Browns have Johnny Manziel. So I'll ask you kind of a two-parter here, Dane, since you're down at the Senior Bowl as well. First of all, Johnny Manziel, is it too soon to give up on him? Do you think he can become the franchise quarterback for the Browns, number one, and number two, in the battle for number three behind Mariota and, of course, Jameis Winston? Did anybody stand out to you at the Senior Bowl?
Yes, starting with Manziel, going into last year and over the process and going into the draft, I had a late first, early second round grade on Manziel. There's a lot to like with what he brought to the table. Obviously, he had some areas you worried about, and one of those is durability. Could he hold up with his style of play? But let's be realistic. What we saw last year is simply not enough. Not enough time. Not enough game for him to really evaluate what he's going to be at the NFL level. And I know this might be an unpopular opinion, but maybe I'm just taking the half glass full approach here. But it's almost a positive that what happened because now Johnny goes into the off season knowing, okay, you know what I did at A&M in my backyard style, that's not going to work at the NFL level. I need to do more. I need to get my nose in the playbook and really change things, because if he had success down the stretch, maybe he doesn't take that approach going into the offseason. Maybe he coasts a little bit, and so there's a little bit of a kick in the teeth, a wake-up call for him. So maybe I'm just taking the positive optimistic approach there, but that's what I think. And when it comes to this year's draft, the quarterback group, we're talking about one of a below average group. It's might be the worst quarterback group we've seen in possibly a few decades. We know Mariota, we know Winston; those two guys are top 10 caliber. They're going to be gone off the board pretty quickly. Then that third quarterback spot, there's a drop off, and I don't think that third quarterback is here in Mobile. Bryce Petty from Baylor, he's kind of thought to be one of the top seniors, and he's had his struggles this week. Same thing with Colorado State's Garrett Grayson. I think those two guys will compete to be the first senior drafted. But there's a good chance this will be the first time since 1994 that we don't have a senior quarterback drafted in the top 100 picks. And so I think Brett Hundley from UCLA really is the odds-on favorite to be that third quarterback off the board after Mariota and Winston.
Are you surprised that Hundley didn't go to the Senior Bowl when he could have really kind of cemented that for himself?
Yes and no. I thought it was an awesome opportunity for him, and I was surprised that he passed it up. But at the same time, talking to people close to him, he's been told for so long that he's a first-round pick. And, that's in high school, he was told he'd be a future first-round pick. He got to UCLA, had instant success as a redshirt freshman. And was told you're going to be a future first round pick, and so that kind of settled in with him. And that's not the case. It's just simply not the case. He could be a first round pick. He might be able to sneak into that first round, but it by no means is it a lock. And I thought coming down to Mobile could have really helped him, because this is the type of setting that's made for his skill set. He's big. He's athletic. He has that type of arm strength. We saw last year a guy like Logan Thomas who didn't have a great week. But he had a good enough week, and he really had scouts buzzing because of just the physical skill set. And I thought Brett Hundley could have had a similar type of impact, maybe even, you know, put himself in that first round, you know, area. But, we'll see how it shakes out. Still a lot of, draft process to go with the combine next month and pro days and workouts. So, still a long ways to go.
Dane, I know there's a few Buckeyes in attendance down there at the Senior Bowl. Who from Ohio State? I know, you know, Devin Smith, Michael Bennett, you know, Duran Grant are all playing in the Senior Bowl. Have any of those Buckeyes made or caught any eyes down there at the Senior Bowl?
Devin Smith, you know, really down the stretch and how valuable he was to that Ohio State offense. You know, watching him all throughout college in Columbus, he was a nine route monster. You know, vertically, you could track the ball, go and get it. You know, he was just so good stretching the field over the top, but, really I wanted to see the underneath stuff, you know, the routes, you know, a full route tree. How would he do in this type of setting? And he's had some ups and downs. You see the foot quickness out of his breaks. You see the burst, you see the explosion, you know, he'll attack the ball away from his body. He does have some drops. He does have, you know, there's a little bit of maybe thinking too much in some of those movements, but, nonetheless, I think he's helped himself. He's had a good week. He's in that conversation to be the top wide receiver here in Mobile. And so we're talking, you know, maybe a second round area for him. And unfortunately, Michael Bennett and Jeff Heuermann, are not here because of injuries, and they're, you know, focused on getting healthy for the rest of the draft process. But, Grant has had a nice week, for the Buckeyes. And then the linebacker actually he'll be here today, taking over for,
Joshua
Mike
Perry.
Right,
Curtis
Grant, yeah. He'll be taking over as an injury replacement, so we'll get a chance to see him today, and, you know, it's late in the week, but, hey, you know, he'll have, you know, a practice today to show what he has for scouts.
Dane, the Browns could be looking at a tight end in this draft, obviously, if they are unable to bring back Jordan Cameron. Max Williams is the guy who I've started watching tape on that I like a lot from Minnesota. Who are some of the people buzzing at the tight end spot? Because we've heard maybe a Kent State tight end, a Miami tight end as well down there at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and Max Williams, he's outstanding. A redshirt sophomore.
He's awesome.
He could be in that first round mix. You know, a lot of his game screams, you know, Jason Witten, that type of player who he can block, he can catch, he can create after the catch. You know, he can do so many things at the tight end position. And just a redshirt sophomore, so you really project even higher for him as he gets better and improves. But down here at the Senior Bowl, looking at these seniors, and you know, we don't have that first-round tight end down here. We might not have a second-round tight end, but that third, fourth round, Clive Walford out of Miami, he's in that mix. Ben Koyak out of Notre Dame. Both those guys have had a good week. Just well-rounded tight end. They're athletic, tough as a blocker. You know, the route acceleration to, you know, threaten seam, but they can also be reliable catching, you know, out patterns. But you mentioned Casey Pierce, and the Kent State tight end has really come down here and shown that he belongs. And, you know, when you're talking about some of the smaller school guys and even some of the MAC players, you can tell right away whether they stand out or not in terms of whether do they belong with playing next to guys from the SEC and the Big Ten. And, you know, Casey's done a nice job. He's shown that he belongs. He's had a few drops, but he's also made some phenomenal catches. You know, I think not everyone knew about him coming into this week, but now everyone that's been in here in attendance at Loud People Stadium, they definitely know who he is, and he's definitely helped himself this week.
Dane, you've got the Cleveland Browns at 12-19 going offensive tackle with a gentleman from Stanford, and then the wide receiver from Michigan. Do you think that defensive Danny Shelton has been rumored to be on the Browns' radar as well? Do you think O-line, D-line, wide receivers where the Browns go at 12-19?
I think there's a good chance of that. You know, the Browns are in a position where I think similar to last year, they're going to really look at the best players available and see, you know, who has a chance to make an instant impact. Not only an instant impact, but long-term impact. You know, who's the best player for that team? So I think it's more than just need. But this draft, I think that we look at the receiver position. Amari Cooper out of Alabama, Kevin White out of West Virginia.
I love Kevin White.
He's phenomenal. And if you have a chance to get him at 12, I don't see how you pass. And, you know, people, I get, you know, fans will tell me all the time, well, you know, Farmer's not going to take a wide receiver that early. And I couldn't disagree more. He'll take the right receiver that early. And so, in my opinion, that could be Kevin White at 12. And you mentioned Danny Shelton, who's I give Danny Shelton credit. He came into the week as probably one of the highest-rated players here, and instead of dropping out like Kevin White did, like a few other seniors, He stuck with it. He committed to the game, and you know he's down here dominating. And I think there's a good chance he leaves Mobile as the top player here, and you know the favorite to be the top player drafted from this game, probably in that top 15 mix. I've never scouted a nose tackle who makes more plays outside the hash marks. That type of movement skills, but he also has the upper body power to dominate the point of attack. You know, he still has a few areas mechanically with his hands and. You know, technique-wise, that he needs to get better, but just the skill set, the physical ability that he has, both the movement skills and power, it's really something that you don't come across every day.
Dane, when you're talking about, we're talking with Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com, their draft expert. Follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. When you talk about the quarterbacks in this class and going back to the top two, Mariota, Jameis Winston, I know you have Winston at the top, then Mariota. How would they compare to, say, last year's quarterbacks? And your top quarterback last year, if I'm remembering correctly, was Theodore Bridgewater. How are they comparing in your mind to last year's class? And are any of them the kind of guy that you would say, yeah, if the Browns could trade, you know, 12 and 19 and something in the future to go get him, that they would have their franchise quarterback?
Yeah, you and me both were driving that that Theodore Bridgewater train.
Man.
But you know, it's you look at this quarterback class, and it's not we don't have that Andrew Luck type of slam dunk quarterback just like last year. But we have intriguing guys, and you know, for different reasons. Jameis Winston, if it wasn't for the off field, you know, the character concerns, he would be the no brainer top pick in my opinion. But you know. Teams are really going to have to do their homework. Who is he as a person? Are they comfortable with his character, with his maturity? And they have to figure out, you know, some of these off-field decisions, the off-field remarks and the way he carries himself. Is it a maturity thing? You know, he just turned 21 years old a couple of weeks ago. Or is it a serious character flaw that, you know, is not going to be fixed anytime soon? And, you know, no matter what type of leadership you have in the locker room, it's always going to be a problem. And that's the type of, you know, psychological scouting these teams are going to have to do. And that'll come through the interview process. And it really will come down to their comfort level with who Jameis Winston is as a person. But then, Mariota, it's almost the opposite. You know, we know what type of character he has. He's phenomenal off the field and who he is as a person. But, you know, looking at him on the field, if you isolate the traits, the arm strength is there. He's not the biggest guy in terms of build, but he's tall enough. He's athletic. He has a little Manziel to him with the way he can elude in the pocket and create plays outside of the pocket on the edges. The way he processes information is outstanding. But he comes from an offense at Oregon where it was spread out. His accuracy, he could get away with a lot in terms of, you know, throws downfield. And, yes, he had 70% completions, but if you watch the tape and see, you know, some of these throws – the ball placement is not exactly where it needs to be. And so Mariota, by no means a flawless prospect, just a lot of things you like about him, you know, a lot of positives to his game. And so it's really going to be interesting to see how these quarterbacks fall on draft day. I do think Tampa Bay at number one, you know, the quarterback at number one, that's the prevailing favorite. Right now I'm leaning towards Jameis, but we'll have to see. And then Mariota, I'm going to the Jets at six, but, you know, we could possibly see some trade action up there. And the fact that third quarterback, there's drop off after the top two, that could create some competition with some other teams looking to, you know, find their quarterback in this draft class.
Dane, last question for me is, what did you make of Cardell Jones' decision? And if he had come out, where did you have him ranked versus in this quarterback class?
I, you know, based on, you know, not based on this class, but based on just what I thought of him as a prospect, I gave him a third, fourth round grade. You know, I thought he's a player that, obviously, you saw the physical skills, the size, the arm strength. You know, he's a bull as a runner, but he's just so raw mentally. And, you know, Urban Meyer, what he was able to do, him and Tom Herman, with that offense, and really simplify it for Cardell. And, you know, it was all one read. You know, if that one read wasn't there, he was tucking and running or getting outside the pocket and looking for Devin Smith downfield. And so with that type of, you know, just that raw ability, it's exciting, but at the same time, I thought he made the right decision going back to school. And, you know, we can talk about draft stock and, you know, draft momentum, but I think Cardell was smart enough for, you know, at least listen to the right people around him who told him that it shouldn't be about draft stock for him. It should be about what is the best decision to make him, you know, the best long-term quarterback. And to me, that was staying in school. That was, you know, not necessarily maximizing on, you know, his momentum right now, but doing what is best for him long term. And so if he went to the NFL right now, I wouldn't feel confident about him reaching that second contract. But going back to school, getting better and improving, I think that's the best case scenario for him to have a more of a long-term career at the next level.
Dane, appreciate the time as always. We'll be checking in with you regularly on the road to the draft here for the Cleveland Browns. Two first-round picks, 10 picks total, headed into what should be, again, an important draft for this team.
I can't wait. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dane Brugler. Follow him at DP Brugler on Twitter. He's at CBSSports.com, their draft expert. A guy very, very smart, got Ohio roots, so we love having him on the show. It's always a pleasure to speak with him. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Big show. We had the DeFilippo presser, Mike Pettine in studio, Dane Brugler, and you, 216-578-0850.
Come with me now. Come with me now.